dedicated to helping build a safe, secure, and nuclear weapon-free world at plowshares.org.
Time now for our Monday morning business news analysis here on WCBE's broadcast of Morning Edition. And joining us from RBC Wealth Management today, Andy Foldenauer sitting in for Brian Ford. Hello, Andy.
Good morning, Wayne.
Well, those of us who went to bed early last night woke up to the news of a debt ceiling deal reached between President Obama and congressional leaders. That deal comes just ahead of a Tuesday deadline that could have meant a government default. Now, I must say, we've heard this before in recent weeks about a deal being near. But what's your initial reaction to the news?
Yeah, Wayne, if you open a newspaper or turn on your television or go online, you can't miss it. It's all about the debt ceiling debate all the time. And if you're like me, you're probably eager for the drama in Washington to end. As a quick side note to put things in perspective, I read over the weekend that technology giant Apple has about $75 billion in cash, which was above what the $55 billion that the U.S. Treasury reported in reserves as of last Thursday. And, as you mentioned, it appears that an agreement is in place that would raise the debt ceiling and also provide almost $3 trillion in reductions over the next decade. From conversations we've had with clients over the past few weeks, there is no doubt that this issue has been emotionally charged for a lot of investors as they have been puzzled and frustrated with the lack of direction out of Congress. As a result, investors have been trying to navigate the probabilities and potential economic impacts of a government default, a downgrade of the government's credit rating, a government shutdown, and even more. And that's a lot to digest for even the most seasoned investor. And as a result, last week was not a pretty week for stocks. The S&P 500 suffered its worst weekly loss since July of 2010.
Mm-hmm.
And thankfully, it appears the framework of a deal is in place to now avoid the worst-case scenario of a government default. And as a result, global stock markets and investors are breathing a sigh of relief this morning and are slated to open significantly higher.
Yeah, I see that investors in New York and at major stock indices in Asia and Europe are responding positively to the tentative agreement.
Sure. Now, one thing to keep in mind, though, Wayne, is that the eventual solution on the debt ceiling will not end the focus on the U.S. fiscal situation.
Right.
Both the ratings agencies and the markets are now focused on Congress delivering a credible long-term plan to reduce the deficit.
Well, such agencies as Standard & Poor's and Moody's, the credit ratings agencies, do you think the deal will be enough to prevent the U.S. from losing its AAA credit rating?
That's a really good question, and one that's going to become in focus a lot more. The credit rating agencies have clearly stated the United States risks losing its coveted AAA debt rating unless lawmakers set in motion a credible plan to cut the deficit substantially. Standard & Poor's said they wanted to see a meaningful progress within roughly 90 days, while Moody's has signaled a plan must be crafted within the next 12 to 18 months. We believe the downgrade risk is very high, that at least one rating agency, probably Standard & Poor's, will downgrade U.S. debt from AAA to AA this year. Not only will the agencies be evaluating the size of the deficit reduction package, but they'll also be evaluating the composition and credibility of the plan. Also, I wouldn't discount the notion that the ratings agencies have an itchy trigger finger. Remember, Wayne, that they were roundly criticized for inaction during the financial crisis, so they may use action this time to help rebuild credibility.
Mm-hmm. We have about 2 minutes and a few seconds to go. Well, if the credit rating of the U.S. were to be downgraded, what is the potential impact, and how might that affect the average investor?
Well, there's not really a consensus opinion on how this would play out, as there are a lot of dominoes to fall if that happens. The primary concern about a credit downgrade is that interest rates would have to rise to compensate investors in U.S. debt for the higher perceived risk. Again, higher interest rates means higher borrowing costs for the government, just what they're trying to reduce. It can be compared to an individual who has a high credit score and has had a negative event that has made that drop a little, and that individual will still be eligible for a car loan or a home loan, but just not on as favorable terms as they've had in the past. We are of the mindset that a downgrade down to AA is not an end-of-the-world scenario, and that short-term impact would be limited. It basically would tell investors what they already know, that the U.S. needs to shrink its debt meaningfully over time. We don't see a huge change in interest rates initially because we believe that the Treasury market has, to some extent, already begun to price in a downgrade. It remains more influenced by economic activity. Most importantly, we do not believe it would cause major disruption in the global or U.S. financial system. Historical data shows us that single-step downgrades of AAA-rated sovereign debt tend to have limited short-term market impact.
I noticed the reports on Friday that showed the economy grew slower than expected for the first half of the year. We have just 30 seconds. How will that debt deal potentially affect economic growth?
Well, that's a big question. The economy is already fragile. Short-term impact from the debt deal is uncertain, but I would say the long-term impact is significant. The report you referenced about the U.S.'s gross domestic product, which is basically a measure of all economic activity, came in far below the expectations of economists and policymakers and was a big disappointment. Regardless of the actual perceived outcome of this debt debate, we believe the U.S. economy is facing a protracted period of unwinding of government debt. Undoubtedly, the economy has been largely supported and buffered over the past couple of years by various forms of government intervention or spending. And with government spending scheduled to slow down significantly, the burden to carry the economy is left to individuals and consumers. And whether you look at unemployment, housing statistics, or the recent GDP report, it is uncertain whether the consumers are ready to carry the load.
Okay, thanks to Andy Foldenauer sitting in today for Brian Ford.
Thanks, Wayne.
Portions of today's programming are made possible by Liz Turner as she celebrates the start of her retirement after almost 31 years at the Federal Reserve Bank of Richmond. It's 8:40.
It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Stephen.